I'm going to just rest a little today and give you Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 through 4, and look at it in the light of resurrection, look at it in the light of John, look at it in the light of Passover even, because we celebrated that just this week, and we'll see hopefully at the end of this, that Jesus' resurrection wasn't just because he loved us, although that's true. That's true. But if we make the cross and we make the resurrection about us, we've missed the point. The cross and the resurrection is about the glory of Jesus Christ, about the worthiness of Jesus. Our faith in our life is about the centrality of him in our life, the centrality of God, the centrality of Jesus, not us. And so, yes, God loves us. Yes, he sent his son to die for us. But that is not the whole point. It's important, but it's not the whole point. I want us to leave today glorifying and marveling in God, not in ourselves. And so, Hebrews chapter 1 says this, "Long ago at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets." Now he's speaking to Israel. And so he's speaking in our context of what? The Old Testament. "God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purification for his sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become as much superior to angels as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs." So we're fast forwarding. If you've been with us, we are in John, and we just covered the first trial of Jesus. So I'm going to fast forward past second trial. I'm going to fast forward past the crucifixion. I'm fast forwarding past the part that we're celebrating today, the resurrection. And I'm going to fast forward to when that's done, what did Jesus do? And the scripture says this, he sat at the right hand of majesty. Look at it again. It says, after making purifications for sin, the purification for sin came at the cross. He sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. And it speaks of his superiority. So Jesus sat at the right hand of majesty. And if we stop, and we'll talk more about that in a bit, but you think of this concept of right hand. That's the place of prestige and power, right? We use it a little differently. We don't have kingdoms, at least in the United States of America, and there's no one sitting to the right of the king. But we use this terminology a lot, right? That's my right-hand man. That's the person of importance, right? That's the one who is faithful. That's the one who you can always count on, right? That's my right-hand man. That's the guy that if I got a flat tire at 2 in the morning, which I don't know where I'm going at 2 in the morning, but if I did, where am I going? I'm in bed by 10. That's how pathetic I am. But I'm a fuddy-duddy old man in bed by 10, up by 6. Woo! And don't I live an exciting life for a 35-year-old? Exactly. But if I get a flat tire at 2, who am I calling but my right hand? You understand that's a person of trust, but also prestige, right? That's the one that stands up for you at your wedding, your best man. And so we'll talk more about that concept, but Jesus at the right hand of the Father, not just doing what the Father accomplished, but in this context even more, the power and prestige of being to the right of majesty. And we'll talk more about that. But we start with this concept of long ago and at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our forefathers by the prophets, but in these last days he's spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things. And so, yes, the Old Testament told us who God was, and the Old Testament told us what God required. But now the author of Hebrews says to us, in these last days, the Son is the one who helps us interpret those things. The Son is the one who has shown us the things of the Old Testament. The Son is the one who has shown us what the prophet has spoken of. The Son is the one that shows us the Father. And he goes on to give us a further explanation. He says, in fact, the Son is the radiance of the Father's glory. Look at there. The heir of all things whom he created. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. The exact replica copy of the nature of God. So if you look at Jesus, you know the nature of God the Father. And he holds, now look at this claim, holds all things in the universe upholds the universe by the word of his power. And so he's so powerful that he's upholding the universe. And here's a plug for something I don't mind plugging, and I don't know if it's true in every book or whatever. If you don't have a Kindle, you can get a Kindle app. Most of us have iPhones or iPads or tablets or computers, and you can get this app. And the app is the Kindle app, or buy a Kindle, I'm not saying whatever. But Kindle this week released Francis Chan's books for free. Crazy Love, phenomenal book, I recommend it. Erasing Hell, another good book. And then the third one is Forgotten God, and I really need to read that one. But this Crazy Love book, it's a really neat book. As you're reading it, you can go to the web and you can pull up some videos. And the very first chapter is kind of talking about the majesty of God. And I had this vision of this verse when he says it. He says, click on this link, and he's got a video. And the video, he shows us, he starts off with the view from the mountains in California, because he's from California, Francis Chan is. And then he zooms up a couple hundred feet, and then you can see more of the mountain range. So the first view is from the mountains, and that's pretty majestic. Have you ever been to, anyone here been to the mountains before? Stood on the edge of a mountain and looked out? Isn't that just like awe and majestic? One day I'd like to go to the Grand Canyon. I just can't even imagine what would that be like to stand on this great chasm and look down and just say majesty. I just can't even imagine. But so you can imagine, he's up in a mountain, he's looking across. Well, then they zoom out, and so it'd be cool to stand on the edge of the Grand Canyon, but I'd also like to be on a plane and see the whole entirety of it. That would be, and sorry, Google Earth, I love you, but you're not enough. Right? Google Earth is doing you injustice, Grand Canyon. You need to be there to sense it and feel it and smell it. And you know what? I think I need a mission trip to the Grand Canyon. You guys support me? No, okay, I'm just joking. And then he zooms up so he can see the whole mountain range, and that's pretty majestic. And then he zooms out so you can see what astronauts only see. And I love like NASA channel, and I love NASA website to see those images. Well, then he zooms out, and he keeps on zooming out, and then we can see the Milky Way, and then he zooms out, and there's just this cluster of stuff that's the farthest that humanity's been able to see so far, and there's like a little dot that is the Milky Way, which is where you and I live. If I was smart, I'd have showed you the video because my words are doing it no justice, but your homework is, should you care, look at the video. Francis Chan's his name, Crazy Love's the book. I think the website is crazylovebook.com. Again, you can get the book for free. That's my Christmas present to you, or rather it's Amazon's. I don't really know who's giving it to you. But suffice to say, if you could get this picture of the majesty of the universe, and what this passage just said to us is this, that Jesus is upholding all of that in his hands. So I stop and say to us for a second, we need to contemplate what was just said to us. Not just the power of Jesus, but that Jesus is the lens or the mouthpiece by which we understand God. The author of Hebrews is saying, yes, the prophets have told us about him, but in these last days, Jesus has fully revealed it to us. And so I go back to this Friday night. Many of us were here, and those who were here, thank you for coming. Thank you from the bottom of my heart. I pray that you were as blessed by that evening as I was. A special shout out and thank you to Marcia because she shared family with us. I mean, she shared her mother's candlesticks, and she shared her Passover plate, and she shared her traditions with us, and that's incredible. So thank you for that, and thank you for allowing us to interpret that evening through the lens of Jesus because Marcia's still on this journey with us, and we thank God that she is. And she's not so sure who Yeshua is, and that's cool with me, as long as it's cool with her. But it's just been very interesting to walk this journey from her perspective, because her teachings of God have been from the prophet. And now Hebrew, written probably by a Hebrew Israelite, written to the children of Israel, is saying to Israel, listen, we had the prophets, but now we have Jesus, and Jesus shows us the Father. And so it's just nice to walk through this with her, and I thank her for having the courage and conviction to keep on coming. So that means a lot to me, and I'm sorry I put you on the spot, but she's from New York and can handle it. Right? She can handle it. Seriously, thank you. But as we sat through Passover meal, and the first part, we didn't even bring Jesus into it. We just did a traditional Seder, and we just kind of did it. And then we had our meal and we ate, and then we kind of finished up and we looked at more Christian elements of it. although Marsha will be the first to tell us that she's not there yet, I was just captivated by, Tom said, this is what Jesus would have been doing Thursday before his betrayal. This is what he would have been doing before all the things we've been talking about. And he said, now, this is because of the count, and he would have been crucified right now, right before we were speaking. And he'd be dead at this point because of the Hebrew calendar, sunset would have been Sabbath. And so at this point, he's just kind of bringing up this point. And I was just captivated by Marcia going, and she didn't say it to this degree, but she was like, isn't this what this meal has been about? Like, isn't this what you've been saying? And it's just fascinating to me that here's some Old Testament tradition. And again, now we're understanding it through the New Testament, but you could see this verse coming to life at that meal where she's saying, I don't know this to be true yet, but I can see how the New Testament would say, I see it. And so much of the meal we didn't even talk about completely, but Tom did share. We have matzah, which is unleavened bread, which has no impurity is one of the things, and the other part of unleavened was because it was quick and they had to get out of Egypt. But it was hidden between three stacks, one in the top and one in the middle and one in the bottom. And I think Tom's right. I think it's a good picture of Trinity because the second part of that gets taken out. And our understanding of Trinity is the Son is kind of, not that he's second in command, but we always speak of it, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, right? And the Son is taken out, or the leaven's taken out. It's broken. And then it's wrapped and it's hidden. And then at the end of the meal, it's resurrected. And it's brought back out and you partake of it. Isn't this what Jesus was saying to his disciples that night? This is my body broken for you. Eat this. Do you see the picture? Do you see Hebrews saying, we're grateful? And the other thing that I just love, I wish I could remember how we said it. I don't remember it. It was the Hebrew word for it would be enough. Dayenu. It would be enough. I think the author of Hebrews would have said it would have been enough should Yahweh just given us the prophets. It would have been enough. And yet, you gave us the Son. And the Son not only solidified what the prophets said, but show us in vivid details what the prophets meant. And so we've been walking through that in John, right? I wanted this to fit into where we were. I'm not one of those guys who wants to give us a talk that's completely out of left field and not fit into where we've been. But hasn't our talk been that God has been planning this and Jesus was in control of everything that was happening that night? Here's Hebrews kind of filling it in. The Old Testament said this would happen, and indeed it happens, and Jesus fulfills and shows this to be true. Isn't this great? How majestic God is, and how he's not a different God in the Old Testament and the New Testament. And how it breaks my heart that churches don't want to talk about Old Testament anymore. And they don't want to look at the holiness of God and look at what God had prepared for us to enjoy in the New Testament. Listen, Jesus didn't come, right? He didn't abolish the Old Testament, right? He fulfilled it. So, the other thing that I think was really cool about this week, I've left the sermon for a second, just sharing some insights. It was cool. Was that Passover fell, like, right where we were. Like, it was Friday night. Every year that I've been here, we've always had a Good Friday service, I think. And every year, it's always like, what are we going to do? Because I'm not from the tradition that we did Good Friday. Baptist, I don't know that we do that. Instead, we decide to wake up at like 5 in the morning. I like the Good Friday better because I don't want to wake up at 5 in the morning and see the sunset. But what? No, sunrise. I want to see the sunset, not the sunrise. That said, Good Friday, though, I have these mixed, and if I'm the only one here, please forgive me, I have these mixed feelings about Good Friday. I get that it's a somber occasion, but it's also glory. God said that Jesus would receive his glory by the cross. We cannot take away the glory of Jesus without the cross of Christ. It's central to him receiving glory. And so part of me gets why we're mournful, but part of me is also like, and this is the part of me that feels really awkward, right? I rejoice over the cross. I rejoice, number one, and first and foremost, because it was the plan of God. If that wasn't God's plan, then I think we should mourn because a tragic, horrible thing occurred. But God had set before the foundation of time for Christ to die on the cross for his people. And so in that context, I say we must rejoice, for the plan of God was not thwarted and cannot be thwarted. And I rejoice that God is that powerful. I rejoice because although I don't like that I'm a sinner, I realize that I am, and I rejoice that God has removed my sin at the cross. Without the cross, you and I are in a heap of trouble. Jesus could have come and given us a good role model, example, could have followed and fulfilled the Father's wishes all the way till he got to the garden, could have even gone through the trial and then said, I'm out. If he'd have said, I'm out, guess what that meant for you and I? No hope. And so, I rejoice over the cross because it gives me hope. Because my sins, not in part, as we sang tonight, but the whole, have been nailed to the cross. Now, it is a mournful event. Tom brought it out Friday beautifully. He said to us, what happened was tragic. Here's the only perfect human being, only one of us who was ever perfect, being executed. None of us likes when someone who is innocent gets convicted of a crime, right? I don't like that. I don't like that someone gets locked up for X number of years and they didn't do it. Could you imagine never have done anything wrong? And you pay the price for all the wrong. That's tragic. So you see, and you know what? Passover gave us this too. You see the bittersweet. And we would have those instances where we'd have something sweet and we'd dip it in the bitter herbs, which I don't know that we're supposed to like or not, but some of us were freaks and liked the horseradish. And we're putting it on everything. Yeah, like all of a sudden we're putting horseradish on like all kind of stuff. Like, what is happening here? We like bitter. Anyone want some sweetness now? There you go. And give me that. That's why I was the Jorosa man myself, man. That was some good stuff. It was a good night for the church to see Hebrews 1. It was a good night for us to say that we're not disconnected from Israel. And indeed, Romans tells us we've been grafted into the vine that is Israel. And by it, what's that? Sure. I told you she wouldn't mind, New Yorkers. Yeah. She was, I just got to tell y'all, I love all of you. But Marcia cracks me up because not just the New York thing. That's pretty funny because I'm about as far from New York as it's humanly. I don't get the mind of New Yorkers. I don't understand y'all. I love you guys. You guys are loud and are okay. Very pushy people. And for us Southerners, we think that they can't stand us. It's just because that's their hectic style of life. And we're all like, well, we'll get to it tomorrow. And they're like, no, we don't get to anything. No, we don't get to it today. We get to it to this minute. There's that. But I think it was even a feast. I've heard you say this before. I want to have that moment that I can see, which isn't that what Scripture says the Holy Spirit will do, that her faith will be sight. She wants that moment. And she says, because I want you guys to rejoice with me. This is another little off-the-cuff moment, not in the sermon. I don't know why we've gone through the stuff we've gone through in this church. I don't know why there's a lot of us today, but speaking from normal, I don't know why some Sundays there's like 10 of us. But the fact that we have someone who's not of the church coming to hear the words of God and hoping that God will reveal this to be true or not to her, I'm ready to come back next week if there's three of us, and it's me, Marcia, and Bob. Because what about Bob? He just kind of comes along for the ride, and he's going to say, I know nothing, and that's Bob. just suffice to say, right? Listen, the fact that we're in a church atmosphere with someone who did not grow up with Jesus could come and hear Jesus in a safe enough way that at the end of the day, she'll know, we'll ask her when she's ready to make the decision, whatever, but we're not pressuring her into doing something that she's not ready to do. Can you imagine when God finally gets a hold of that heart, especially with her New York attitude, because she's not even a Christian yet, and she put together Passover for us, and she's always threatening to make a website for us, and she's always threatening to stand outside the church grounds with a sign, dancing sideways, wearing her Moses robe, saying, come inside.
I got an email from the woman that said, I'm glad you guys are okay. And here goes some difference between Southernness and New Yorkness. We're much more polite about this. I just got an email from her. I'm glad you little Southern, this is my paraphrase of it. She didn't say this, but I'm throwing words in her mouth because I can. I'm glad you little Southerners are happy with your little Southern church, but I want to see more people hear the message that you're proclaiming. I say to you again, she's not sure this is a true message yet. And she wants other people to have the opportunity to hear this message. I don't know what else to say about that other than stand back and watch what God has begun. And to that, I'm in awe. And so here is one who had the prophets, and what the author of Hebrews is saying to her and would say to all the Israelites and is even saying to us, if you've seen the prophets, that's good, but hold on because there's something better because the Son has come to show us the Father. He's the radiance of the Father's glory, the radiance. Do you ever stop outside and look at the sun and realize there's radiance coming off of it? Now, do you ever go, well, that's radiance or that's sun? No, they're so interconnected, you're never like, oh, that's the radiance of the sun. You just go, that's the sun. Right? When we talk about solar power, that's the radiance of the sun that's powering stuff. But do we ever go, oh, yeah, the radiance has powered it? No, the sun, solar power. You get what he's saying? The Father and Son are so intrinsically intertwined, and they're so one, that if you see Son, you see Father. Isn't this what John has been proclaiming to us? And now another author of another book is saying the same thing in essence to us. If you want to see God, you see Jesus. And he goes on to say, the point that we're here to celebrate this morning is this. The radiance, the exact imprint, after making purification for sins. After making purifications for sins. That's what Friday was all about. It was all about God making purification for sin. And I so desperately want this to be I want to proclaim this to anyone that's trying to get purification from sin from some other way. I don't speak against other faiths very often, especially other, I don't know to do with Catholicism a lot of times. But I so desperately want to say to them, purification of sins was accomplished by Jesus once and for all. Look at the verse, it's quite clear. After he made purification for sins, he went to sit at the right hand of majesty. So I love, as much as I love Marcia's tradition, and I tell her that all the time, I love those of you that have a Catholic tradition. I'm grateful for the things the church taught you that are true things. But hear me, and please don't think I'm disrespecting your heritage or your family or your parents or anyone that's still Catholic. I just desire for them to stop running the rat race of trying to get sins washed that have been washed. It just breaks my heart that there's this constant trying to purify something that's already been done. It breaks my heart that I bump into people all the time that, oh, you're a pastor, well, let me start confessing to you. Don't confess a thing to me. I can't do a thing for you in the context of purifying your sins. We don't have to sit in a booth, and I'm not going to break the microphone. We don't have to sit in a booth, and I don't have to tell you to do like 10 Hail Marys and 5 repentances and 6 jumping jacks to get that sin removed. Christ purified sin at the cross. It is finished. And I think this verse is telling us to further say it's finished. Here's how we can be assured that it's finished. When he's done, he sits at the right hand of majesty saying, I am complete. I've done it. I now work through my people, but it's not to eradicate sin. I'm sitting in my place of honor and prestige and precision. Precision, that's right, or not the right word, but prestige. I'm sitting at the right hand of majesty because I am Messiah and I have finished my work in the context of salvation, in the context of removing of sin. Is there still work that's being done? Yeah, I think the Holy Spirit, not that we have, don't hear me wrong, there's not different dispensations and now the Spirit's working and the Father worked and the Son worked. No, no, no. They're all together, all right? There's not one guy doing 3 things at 3 different times and call him something different. That's not true at all. But Jesus did say when he left, he would send the Spirit and the Spirit would continue some work, right? And so suffice to say, Jesus, we know, is doing something. He's upholding the universe. But the concept of you must continue to go back to him, have your sins erased, he did it. This is what faith in Christ accomplishes, purification of sin. ceremonial hand washing is fun. Listen, I loved every bit of that ceremony Passover night. Loved every bit of it. And I saw such great meaning and significance to every bit of it. But I assure you, as strong as I can assure you of anything in my life, I knew that it did nothing for me. I knew that eating the bread and drinking the little cup of grape juice. By the way, if you never, I want to go to a real Seder where they have glasses of wine and see how the night ends. They have to drink four glasses of wine, people, and some of us are teetotalers, and we would just be gone. And what do we do with that when Scripture says not to be given over so much wine? I don't know, but whatever the case is, we had our little thing. I knew that when I ate the bread, I wasn't eating grace. When I drank the blood, I knew that it wasn't pouring blood over my sin. It was symbolic for what Christ had already accomplished. He purified. He made purification for sin. Afterwards, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Listen to this. Becoming as much superior to angels in name as name he has inherited is more more excellent than theirs. What did he do by dying on the cross and resurrecting and purifying us of sin, but was elevated to a place where he is supreme? So when I look at the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, I do see forgiveness of my sin, and I'm grateful for that. I do see the love that God has for humanity. Are you kidding me? As we already said, Daye Nu. If you'd have created us and allowed us to just wreak havoc on each other and die and have to face your wrath, it would have been enough. So at the cross, I see the great mercy and grace of God to make a people his own. But above all, I see that Jesus has been glorified. He has done what the Father has called him to do. He is the image of the Father. And because of that, he sits at the right hand of majesty, and we are to glorify him. So we have been saved or ransomed from sin, not just because God wanted a people, although he did. We've been saved and we've been ransomed from sin so we may give all glory and all honor to Jesus Christ. So if we come here every week and there's 3, 5, 6, 10, a lot today, whatever the number is, and we fail to give glory and honor to Jesus, that's the day I know I'm ready to quit. Just be honest with you. That's my measure. My measure is, where is Christ? Is he the supreme? Is he what we're holding firm to? Is he the foundation of our faith? Is he what we are proclaiming? Is he what we are giving majesty and glory and honor to? If that's what we're doing, come on, get ready for the ride, because we got Marcia inviting all kind of people here. Because look, we got Jen and Rob Whoppet. And Caden, look at Caden looking spiffy today. All because a Jewish lady who's not quite sure this to be truth yet wanted someone else to hear what might be truth. Hang on, church. Hang on. If all we gain is the two of them, y'all are some fun. Y'all need to hang out with them for 5 minutes and just get over our southern apprehension. And I know this too. If they offend you, just tell them, listen, I'm kind of offended. And they'll work that out because they're relational kind of people and they understand that we're just a little different. But I... notice I said we're different and they're not. See, I'm playing a PC, y'all. Y'all. And we got our friend Dory, too, from California. I don't know if you guys haven't met Dory yet, but that's who I was talking to. I told someone the other day, I asked someone the other day, did you carry her up to Moffitt? She was like, I can't carry my stepmother to Moffitt. And I'm like, it just means, did you take her? I'm from Wachula. Did you carry him up to the Walmarts? That's how we talk. But Dory's with us, and pray for Dory. I forgot to tell you guys last, well, we had an email or whatever, but I forgot to tell you verbally, some of you, that her grandson had surgery last week, little guy. How many weeks old is he now? 2 months. So little guy had surgery last Sunday while we were here. Well, probably after we were here because of the time change. Yeah, but I mean, I don't know if we were meeting when it happened. And she's here because her stepmother's having breast cancer. And so she's here with the chemo and all that stuff. So we don't know how long, hopefully May 28th, because she wants to get home and take care of her daughter and grandson. But she comes faithfully when she's here, and we're so grateful to have her as well. Look, diversity. California, New York, Florida, some Cubans around this place. Well, two or three of us. But Janet's from Maine. Yeah, she's a maniac. Just saying, look, we have great diversity, and that's what the bride of Christ should be. And as long as we continue to place it safe for those who have not found faith yet, to feel safe to come in, and we proclaim Jesus Christ and watch him work, I'm a happy camper. I don't know about you. And just look at what he's already started. So we're going to continue to pray about that. We're thankful for the resurrection. We're thankful that Jesus accomplished what the Father desired for him to accomplish. We thank you that his life wasn't taken, but given. And we thank you how God has worked that even out. So that yes, men took the life of Jesus, but ultimately it was the Father's plan and the Son who gave his life. We've been looking at this concept of man's work and God's work and how they kind of fit and connect. And I'm praying that for my friend Marcia. Like she said, the seeing of the washing of the hands of the Passover gave her a glimpse of what Jesus spoke to be true. Look at that. We don't put that together ourselves. I could have told that to her and she'd have remembered it. But the Spirit has revealed that to her, so we're grateful for that. So let us continue to proclaim Christ and his resurrection and watch God transform lives. I don't know about you, but I'm excited about that. Let me pray for us. And then you guys have, not all of us, some of you have some hams to eat. The rest of you have some meat dish to make. some weird meat pie or something. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much again for this day that we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ, our hope, Father, for our resurrection. God, the cross was about the forgiveness of sins, and it was about you making a people of your own. But ultimately, Father, it was, I think, supremely about showing us the glory of Jesus Christ. He's not just a role model or an example. He's not one that we are just to pattern our life over. He's not even just Savior. He is your majesty. He is the exact imprint of you. He has your nature. He and you are one. And so, Father, when we elevate and give the Son majesty and glory, we give you majesty and glory. May we be a people that always proclaim Christ. May we be a people that always glorify and honor Christ. And may we be a people, Father, who always trust you to take the words and our stories that we share, impart them in the lives of others as seed that we plant. But then, Father, may you cause those seeds to grow as only you can. Father, I thank you again for our friends. We thank you for Dory and her visiting this season. We continue to pray for her mother and her recovery from treatment. And we know this Friday they're having chemo, so just a special prayer for that time and procedure. We thank you for her grandson Seth's surgery and that it went well. And we pray that he continues to get healthy and gain weight and grow and mature. And Father, we thank you so much even for Marcia sharing with us her Passover story. And I thank you that she allowed us to share our Passover story with her. Father, may any seeds that we've planted take root. And Father, if you so would be gracious enough to reveal this to be true to her, we would rejoice with her. And we thank you for her courageousness to come and her enthusiasm to share our community with others, God. Father, we love you and we praise you and we thank you for this Easter Sunday. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.